Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Mark now. We'll start out with the introduction to Mark, and then we will do chapter 1 with its 45 verses, translation and commentary. Then also we have several letters, and then also I have a message on building one's character. We have to have good character to be Christians. But right now, let's all go to the throne of the living God to ask him to anoint outwardly, which is the outward anointing for the ministration of his word. And the Bible states that we Jews would be the teachers of the word in the last days. And the others, well, I can get into that later. It's in the book of Revelation. And I just happen to be a Jew, a Romanian Jew, and I pray that you people will listen to the things that the Lord has given me. It was the Jew that the Lord gave the Bible to in the very first place. So right now, Father, we ask you to anoint outwardly this service with a teaching message and also a salvation message. Open the hearts and souls of everyone out in Radio Land. Open their spiritual ears that they may hear the very things that will cause their souls to be saved. And also the church, Lord, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about religions like Catholicism that are not Christians, but say they are and believe they are. They've been sent strong delusions by you, Lord. But there are a lot of people that are Catholics that need to be born again of the Spirit, and they will be saved. Lord, and I pray that you'll open their ears today that they may hear and be saved and not be religious anymore, but be salvationist, born of the Spirit, washing of your precious blood, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that they can begin doing a work for you. And Lord, open the spiritual eyes of everyone that they may see you, Father. No man can see God and live. We must die out. We must go to the cross, to where the Lord Jesus Christ died, and we must be nailed to the cross with him. If we are, then we can be resurrected from the dead with him. And we also can be ascended into the kingdom of heaven and be sitting with him in heavenly places. And we can also be waging spiritual warfare. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Anybody telling you that waging carnal war on people is of the Lord and that they're Christians, don't believe them. Because they're not telling you the truth. The scriptures, the Bible, the word of God, God himself is the word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the word in the Bible. His word, Jesus tells you. Father, we ask that you break down every satanic evil barrier, fallacy that's been preached to people in this world today in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Oh, now, where are the letters from, please?
The first one's from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings in the precious name of our Lord to you. My name is Ashley Brown. I'm living in Tennessee, USA. I am born in a Christian family, but I don't know more about Jesus and the Bible. I never went to church and never read the Bible. I got a newsletter from my dearest Indian friend by email attachment. I read the newsletter. Really, God touched me when I read your literature, and I accepted Jesus with tears. I knew that my life was so much wrong. I read a written by you message, Earthquake, and was blessed. Please send me a book entitled The Messiah and each copy of all other literature and messages on tape as well. Please send me a good pocket-sized Holy Bible in the English language because I want to start reading the Holy Bible from today. I'm working a small job, but I would like to be an evangelist and distributor for your wonderful literature full-time. I need your prayer support and financial support. I hope that you can send me all the above. Please put my name and address on your mailing list to send your newsletters regularly. Please allow me to visit you and your church. Thanking you, your sister in the Lord, Sister Ashley Brown.
Right. Well, anyone that really wants to serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength and is willing to keep the rules at the church, you're welcome here as the flowers in May. And then what is your next letter from?
From Kitwe, Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Thanks. As a fellowship, we came across your literature, and a good number of students have come to faith by your booklet, The Messiah. Please help us with the Bibles and some more copies of The Messiah. May the good Lord continue to bless you. We look forward to your positive response. Yours in Christ, Generopus Mukanga from Kitwe, Zambia.
Okay, make sure that you send them all the Messiah books that they need, and they probably speak French there. If not, they may. A lot of people speak English in Africa and also French. And then what else?
Next letter is from Accra, Ghana. Greetings to you in the name of Almighty Father God. Thanks be to God for making it possible to get in touch with you. I am from one of the poorest villages in Ghana, but God made it possible to get in touch with you when I visited a relative in Takoradi. In fact, after reading your literature, I've been touched by the contents. I went back to the village and told friends and relatives the words, especially the Messiah, and some of the poor students are asking for some. I am saying this to glorify God that my life has changed after reading it. Since I am from a poor family, I should ask for money or material things, but that would not take me anywhere. But I am hereby, in the name of God, asking you to send me a holy Bible so that by everyday reading it will sharpen me like a sword to face the devil and its associates, including other literatures for my friends in God. Hoping to hear from you in God's own time, may God abundantly bless you, your family, and the congregation. In God's name, amen. Nana from Accra, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. A lot of people feel that, you know, if people murder somebody or they maim somebody, that you should just forgive them. The Bible says, you know, with that kind of an attitude, that spawns lawlessness. And that's why the Lord has the law. People that commit murder, such as any kind of murder, such as abortion, which is first-degree murder, they are to suffer the penalty of the law. And many of you that may have committed murder out there in Radio Land, if you repent of this sin and ask the Lord to enter into your heart, He will forgive you as long as you never do something like that again. So consider that. I don't know, this is completely off the subject of what we were talking about, what these letters are talking about, but the Lord knows that there's somebody listening to the radio right now that have murdered people, possibly your own children. And remember what the Lord is saying, because He's coming back to earth again real soon. You know, in the days of Noah, a lot of people were laughing and mocking and scoffing and had a deaf ear to the message of Noah. He was telling them that the world was coming to an end, that there was going to be rain coming down from heaven, which never happened before. The Bible says that there was a mist that came up from the earth, and people just couldn't believe that water would be coming from the sky. But so they didn't listen to him. They just kept mocking him, scoffing and sinning, killing people, committing adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all the other sins that you see very prevalent today. The sins that people are committing today are not anything new. They're the very things that people were committing in those days that caused God to drown the world. Now, He said He's not going to drown the earth anymore, the complete earth. Of course, He said there would be floods, just as the ones that you've just seen in New Orleans, a hurricane that caused a flood. We distributed literature over there about 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and nobody seemed to repent. And it was a piece of literature that the Lord gave me to entitle Earthquake, and it talks about hurricanes and floods and all the different disasters that would be occurring on earth in these last days just before Jesus comes back to earth again. And when the tsunami hit over in Indonesia, I told people that that was a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what is going to be happening very soon. I said, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. Now, the people can rebuild New Orleans, but the Lord will knock it back down again. And He's going to be knocking down a lot of major cities. And so people, you know, you could, you may be like the people hardened in your heart as the people were in the days of Noah. But the only people that were rescued, there were 8 people, Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, And this is where the entire earth population came from, because everybody else was drowned by the Lord. And the Lord is a God of justice and judgment. All of God's way, the Bible says, are judgment. So if you break his commandments, there's going to be judgment. A lot of people wonder why there's so many sicknesses, disease, infirmities, and catastrophes today. It's all because people feel that God is some kind of a sham, that he doesn't really mean what he says. And he does mean what he says. And you're going to see more and more of these things. He doesn't have to do the same thing. He can have a tsunami here and a hurricane there and a flood over here and an earthquake over someplace else. And he can cause incredible disease. You say, well, what kind of a God is that? He's a God that forewarned everybody in the world that he's going to do these things. And what kind of people are you that you ignore it or thumb your nose at God and then complain when he keeps his word? He's not a person, a God that gives idle threats. Some people say, they say that the Roman government ruled by fear. The Lord rules by fear, too. And the people of God rule by the fear of the word of God. God said that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And you should fear the things that he says enough to where you'd repent and stop sinning. Now, there's no way that you could rule people if you didn't rule with fear. Like, for instance, this government, the only one they want to fear them is Christians. Christians that are preaching the word of God, which is completely contrary to the things they're saying and doing. They are telling people that you can commit murder and no penalty for abortion. And instead of giving people executions, they say it's all right to murder. You get 5 years and maybe life in prison. This is not the recommended penalty that the Lord gives. He said if you kill somebody, that you have to be killed also. Well, what if they repent? Well, if they repent, the Bible says that they can be saved, but after they've heard the word, they don't repent and they keep hardening their heart and keep killing people like the administration does. They go to different countries and drop bombs on them and destroy millions and millions of people, and they're going to have to pay for it. Now, they were saying that President Clinton was boasting that he was the most powerful man, that he bombed 50 different countries and killed millions of people, and he's considered by many people in government, not everyone, but many of them, as being a great leader. But if the person, if he calls himself a Christian, don't believe him, because no Christian would do anything like that. No true Christian. Catholics, yes, but not Christians. All right, now we have the introduction to Mark, all right? To the book of Mark. I've done already Matthew, Mark, and John, and I'm doing Luke right now. I've pre-recorded this, and what they do is they type up what I record, and then it's read, because I don't read well. I've got glaucoma. It takes quite a long time. I don't think you'd want to listen to me read. All the things that I'm saying are just extemporaneous. It's what the Lord gives me from the throne in heaven. All right, let's start out with the intro to Mark.
1. Jesus was preparing for his service to the Lord. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. 2. Jesus serves through God's word in deed. Chapter 1, verse 14 through chapter 13, verse 37.
I mean, you should have a paper and pencil if you're students of the Bible and take these things down. Otherwise, this would probably bore you to death if you're not born again of the Spirit. I had no intention at the time that I've done this to be reading all these scriptures and verses on the air. And so you can eliminate that, okay? Because people will turn their dial over to Bozo or somebody. And we don't want them to do that, do we?
No.
All right, then what?
When our life was out of control, you responded to your trials, and I did too in various ways. One was anger, bitterness, or rebellion. Everyone has some kind of an addiction determined on behavior and attitudes. We eventually realized that our life had become unmanageable. I really remember that, and that you were destroying not only yourself, but your loved ones as well. You needed to break the cycle, but you were powerless to do so. I had no idea how I could until the Lord revealed himself to me in an office one day. But most of the people in the world, the gospel comes to them. For instance, the gospel of Mark is written for people like you and myself. It shows that Jesus is powerful and wants to help you and I. In this gospel, we see Jesus' power displayed again and again. He raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, restored deformed limbs, and lame people walked. He cast out demons, healed incurable skin diseases, and quieted stormy waters and the winds. Though Mark is the shortest gospel, it records more miracles than any of the others. It proves that Jesus is a powerful Savior and is more than able to help suffering people. This gospel also emphasizes the fact that Jesus wants to save you and help you along to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Jesus spent all his energy to the point of exhaustion in helping others, those who came to him for help. By recording a rapid succession of vivid pictures of Jesus in action, the gospel writer has shown that Jesus came to help humanity. This truth is driven home by Jesus' willingness to suffer a painful death to free us from our bondage to sin. Jesus has power over the problems that bind us. He is more powerful than our dependencies, problems, and weaknesses. He has the power to keep us above the stormy waters, helping us in all the things we need to grow by.
By stormy waters, I mean the trials and tribulations that every human being goes through at one time or another. Some people go through them all their lives, and the only way that we're able to stay completely whole is to completely focus our minds, our hearts, and souls on the Word of God, which is God. The Bible says that the Word of God is God, and the Word of God came into the world in the flesh as a man. And that man sits on the throne in the kingdom of heaven right now. Remember, Jesus was a man. If you forget that, anyone that says that God did not come to this world in the flesh is a liar, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to remember that we have a very good man sitting on the throne of the kingdom of heaven. And we have to emphasize man, even though he's God, he was. And even though God is living inside of those of us that are born again of the Spirit, there's no way that we would have the confidence or the hope that we too are sons of God unless we believe that a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God in the flesh, came into this world as a man. And he kept all the commandments, then suffered this horrible death, so that we could be saved. He was true to the end. And now the Spirit of the Lord, because this man was sitting on the throne, he has become, he's actually also the Son of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is deity as well as man. And now we have confidence because he, a man, was able, by the Spirit of God living in him while he was here on earth, he was able to keep all the commandments and go be faithful to the very end. And now he sends his Spirit into us as we pray, Father, forgive me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, enter my heart. Wash me with the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. Cleanse me from all my filthy sins. And I know that you will not turn me away. I believe God raised you from the dead. I know you will not turn me away because your word says you'll turn all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And you just thank and praise the Lord for that. All right, and so we know that God is a man. He became a man, and now we have become his body. So mankind has now become, those of us that are saved, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the kingdom of heaven, some of us will reign, and some of us will, right here on earth, we reign, some of us as kings, and some of us are the Jews, are the teachers, and some of us Jews are we reign and we're teachers and we're pastors and we're preachers. And because there's so few people that have stepped out of the world and into Jesus and allowed the Lord to live in us. It's like a marriage, the Lord said, where he and his father, he is in his father and his father is in him. And that both of them will come into us and we will be in them. So this is the way the kingdom of heaven is brought together. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, is by the Son of the living God with his Father by the Spirit is in us. And we are able now to be to keep all the commandments of the Lord by the power. The Bible calls it grace, but the word grace means by the power of God in us that we shall be able to do all things in Christ Jesus. And we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we've got victory in Jesus. And so long as we deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow the Lord, it's a simple thing with the power of God that comes into us. And now we, after being saved, we're nailed with Christ on the cross, and we also resurrected with him and ascended with him in the kingdom of heaven and sit with him in heavenly places and reign with him now. We reign with him because he has saved our souls. Satan took the reign of man that God had given him away from him, and then Satan began reigning. And now the Lord has called Christians, people that are faithful and true to the Lord, to reign and rule with authority in this world. And so this authority belongs to those that trust God and keep his commandments. And this is yours. So here are a bunch of people that are men, are sitting with the man, Christ Jesus, in the kingdom of heaven. We all are sons of God, and so is he. And so is now the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We say, and the bride. Well, we're the bride. But we're also the body of Christ, so still it's Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He's the head, and we're the body, his body. So still Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it says also Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we're the bride of Christ. He lives in us, and we live in him. If you're really born again of the Spirit, and you do his will, as the Bible calls it. All right, now let's continue on.
No matter how terrible our past was, and all of our experiences, all we have to do is look to the Lord and admit that we need his help. The purpose of the book is to encourage people to continue trusting and serving God, especially through life's difficulties. The author of the book is John Mark. The audience that he had written to is the Christians in Rome. The date that it was written was more than likely between A.D. 55 and 65. The setting is the Roman Empire and unified the known world, and its use of a common language made conditions ideal for the spreading of the gospel in written form. The key verse is, quote, "For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many," unquote. Chapter 10, verse 45. Special features in the Gospel of Mark is characterized by its fast-paced narrative, key people or relationships, Jesus with his disciples, especially Peter. Jesus the servant. The 12th step tells us that our growth should lead us to be servants and share our testimony of deliverance with others.
But it's not really servants, it is slaves. We have to be a slave of the Lord or a slave of Satan. Because the Lord, he said, "You are my friend if you do everything I say." And he says he no longer calls us slaves if we're just in him. He wants us to die out from our old way of life and let him live his life in and through us. And that's how. So in order to do that, we have to deny ourselves completely. We have to give ourselves completely as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, to let him live in us. He's coming back to earth again, and don't close your ears. Don't give him a deaf ear, because the things that I'm saying to you are in the Bible. And the things that you're seeing on earth that are happening today are prophesied of in the Bible. There is not much time. Now, soon you'll be seeing the two witnesses. Now, you know, a lot of people say, would you, if there were prophets today, would you receive the message from them? I know that they didn't when Noah was preaching the gospel. But there'll be two witnesses, and to give you an idea of how hardened people are, after prophesying for 1,200 and some odd days, the two witnesses will be killed, and the people in the world, these are the two witnesses of God, and the people of the world will be so happy. You people of the world will be so happy out there that they're dead, that you'll be sending gifts one to another as though it were Christmas. You're so happy that these two witnesses of God are dead. And so it's like Christmas time to you, because you don't have to hear. They torment you with the truth, the Word of God, just as I do. Now, the government has severely attacked us, and we expect it to get worse and worse, just as God pours out his plagues worse and worse on them. And, like, for instance, just yesterday they took our mailing permit away from us. And I just said, well, this shows you that the devil does not want our message to go out. They'll take anything that you have. They once took all of the property that we had and sold it for pennies on the dollar and threw literally hundreds of people out on the street and in the cold with their babies. Houses that they owned that were given to them by the church to live in for the rest of their lives. So they worked hard for it. And now, instead of putting anything in the church's name, what we have done is just everybody owns their own place now, and it never was in the church's name, and they have bigger and better property now than they ever have. And so, because of the fact that they have taken our mail permit away to where we get a discount because of its gospel literature, we just assume that God wants us to go out onto the streets more with the gospel, and now we're on radio. And we're getting better response, much more response, when we go out into the streets with the gospel messages. And also we're getting a lot of response on the air. And so be supportive of this ministry, because we're going to tell you and keep you informed that the Lord is standing at the door right now, ready to come back. And only what you do for the Lord on this side of eternity is what's going to count. Once he comes back, there isn't, or once you go out to meet him, there isn't anything more that you can do for people. You'll stand in front of him, and he'll show you whether you did anything for him or not. And he wants you to support this ministry in a big way. He wants you to give, give, and give until it hurts, because he always gives you back 100-fold if you give it in faith, believing, and cheerfully. But he doesn't want a giver that is begrudging the Lord of what he's given you. So don't fail to support this ministry so that we can stay on the air, because we're bringing the words of life to you. The heavens and the earth were made with God's word, and your whole being, your soul, is molded and made into a person that is acceptable by God to live in heaven with him from now into eternity. So there's no way that we can bring this message to you effectively and throughout the world unless you help support the ministry. So, you know, we've really never ever asked for money, but the Lord commands me to do it. It's in the book of Malachi that you're robbing God if you don't. So send your tithes and offerings into the house of God. We're still going to keep chopping away whether you do or not. We'll take your blessing from you if you don't, all right? Okay, so let's continue here with some of the introduction to Mark.
Real greatness in God's eyes is demonstrated by a willingness to serve and sacrifice for others. Jesus didn't come as conquering king.
Now you take, for instance, I have to keep interjecting because the Lord keeps telling me to. All these people that are giving their lives and going in there, the fire department and the National Guard, and all these people, all the work that they're doing to rescue New Orleans and the people and bring it back into order, that's wonderful and good, but it doesn't make them saved. They must accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts, soul, into their spirits in order to be saved. All your good works are like filthy rags before the Lord. And I notice everybody just pitches in thinking that this is going to be make some kind of a concession for you with the Lord. But believe me, it won't. The only thing, if you de- do all the good works and even give your body to be burned, the Bible says, and ignore the salvation that the Lord has brought forth, but you reject His Son, His only begotten Son who died for you, you're lost. I don't care how many, God doesn't care how many good works you do. All right? They're like a minstrel's cloth, the Lord says, a filthy rag. You mean to say that we're not supposed to? Yes, you are. You can do good. But I'm just telling you that that's not going to buy you salvation, all right? You've got to do business with the Lord. He's a Jewish God, and you got to do business the way He wants you to. The Boy Scouts do a good deed. That doesn't mean they're saved. The Girl Scouts, the Brownies, the National Guard does some good things, and they do some bad things, too. The government does some good things and bad things. They all need to be saved, amen?
Amen.
You've got to ask Christ to come into you. All you do-gooders out there, that's not going to buy your a place for you in heaven. You've got to be born again of the Spirit. And then the things that you do according to the way the Lord tells you to do it, we help out with the effort as well. We offered to be a distribution place for anything. Anybody wants to give us something to give out to people, we'll do it. But, you know, they said, we're not going to help. We don't need that kind of help. We're just doing it freely out of the goodness of our heart. I understand you're shorthanded, and there's a lot of bureaucracy in getting stuff to people. People are complaining about, the news media is complaining about how long it took to get some help. But we don't have red tape over here. If somebody's in need, we give it to them right away. And so, therefore, it would be, you know, the United Way, or I think it was, it said that they believe that we could get the products to people a lot faster than they could. But, you know, when they find out that Tony Alamo is going to do some good, they don't want it to be said, but that's fine. We're just doing the work of the Lord anyway, and so it would just be an extra thing. But don't think that because we're not doing it that it's our fault. Because if they send these big shipments of shoes or socks or anything, we'll get them out to Fort Chaffee and all the other places around where these refugees are, all right? Mm-hmm. And then also other poverty-stricken people. And if you don't do it, well, you lack manpower. Then send the National Guard out with them, all right? It's all right with me, okay? Mm-hmm. No skin off my nose. All right, then what else?
He came as a servant. He chose to obey His Heavenly Father and die for all the world that received Him. When personal ambition and hunger for power gets into our minds, then it begins to control our lives. We live in contradiction to the principles of the gospel and to God's will for our life if that's the way we feel. The power of God. The Gospel of Mark is filled with amazing events that display the awesome power of God in Jesus.
Yeah, see, we were going to rent about 1 million square feet of space to house stuff, because at first they said they were going to do it. Then all of a sudden they said, oh, we believe Tony Alamo has something to do with it. Well, you better believe I have something to do with getting stuff to people. Is that bad? If you say that, well, then United Way or whoever you are, you're bad, okay? Mm-hmm. Because what difference does it make who gets it to them? But if you've got enough manpower out there and you can throw some of that paperwork away, well, then maybe you'll be able to do a more efficient job than we could. But we take care of a lot of people. And there's a lot of poor people. You know, these gas prices and prices of food and everything else. And there's a constant need out here. And, you know, there's definitely a need for those people out there. And, you know, they figure it's going to cost around $300 billion to rebuild that septic tank over there that they call the Big Easy or New Orleans. So, you know, you people are going to, I guess, have to pitch in there because you're going to get taxed to the point to where you got to pay it. God will wreck those places and you're going to have to pay for it. It would be better if they would have repented when we got the literature out to them, and then this would not have happened. And the same thing with you. If you are thinking that I'm too controversial, well, then you're saying God is too controversial because I'm not saying anything that God doesn't say. And who are you to judge God? God is going to judge you. Don't you know that? You know, if you go out to meet the Lord tonight, you're going to be judged immediately. because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, immediately after death, you're judged. And you're put in the right category where you belong, because he's not an unjust judge. He's not going to put you in prison like this world government did me. I didn't do anything but just to preach the gospel. The people over at Waco, as far as I know, all they did is preach the gospel. Even the town people said that they were good people. And I know a lot of people that know them. And when I was in prison for the gospel, I met a bunch of those people. And they just said, man, they tried to surrender, but the government just kept shooting at them. And I've got a gospel piece of literature that I have written. And it's going to cost, a lot of money to send it out now. That tells how that they didn't go there to arrest David Koresh. They went there to kill him. They called it a turkey shoot. One of the former FBI undercover men confessed it to us and to the world. And we printed it up and put it out. And no one has ever retorted or made any comment that we're lying or anything like that. They know it's the truth. A lot of those government agents know it's the truth. It's wicked. And the wicked people in government need to repent. We're not trying to hurt you or harm you. We're trying to lead you to the right way. Straight and narrow way. Into heaven. Okay, go ahead.
Mark recorded more of Jesus' miracles than his sermons. He wanted us to see God's power in action.
And right there in New Orleans, you can see God's power in action over there in Indonesia, too. Mm-hmm. And you haven't seen anything there. Just like Jolie used to say, you ain't seen nothing. All right? You ain't seen nothing yet. God says that he's going to kill one-third of the world population because they're so evil at one time. And so, like I'm saying, this is a Sunday school picnic compared to what God promises that he's going to do. But what kind of a loving God is that? He's the kind of loving God that doesn't want you to sin, and if you do, he's going to make you pay the price. That's what kind of a God he is, okay? Now, you've heard all kinds of garbage from the comedians and all these people that don't know their left foot from their right, and they don't know right from wrong, but I'm telling you the right way and what the Lord, what kind of God he is. And it's good for you to know that, because you're going to run into him whether you want to or not. You're going to stand in front of him whether you want to or not. And if you're not saved, out you go, right into outer darkness, down into hell and into the lake of fire, where you couldn't even dream of the torments and agony there. And it's going to last, if it was for a few minutes or an hour or a year or 100 years, that would be one thing, but it's forever. Thousands and thousands, and then after that, it's tens of thousands and millions of thousands of years. Okay, then what else?
The more we are convinced that Jesus is God, the more we will see his power and his love in action in our life. His greatest miracles are still those that involve forgiveness, healing of relationships, and the restoration of our lost souls on our wasted past, and the giving of his permanent, eternal, everlasting life to us. The same power we see in Mark's gospel is available to us today. Being recovered from our past is not the main goal. Some people are afraid of growing to the fullness of the stature because it seems all-consuming.
The fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, because it seems it's all too consuming. In other words, you've got to keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, the Word of God. And, if you think about everything that you do that has no bearing on whether you're going to receive eternal life, you'll find out that about 100% of the things that you're doing today are worthless. If you thought that you're going to die today or tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now, everything that you're doing right now is worthless unless you are 100% serving the Lord and got your mind completely focused on him. Then and only then will you be able to make it in. The Bible says if the righteous scarcely or barely make it into the kingdom of heaven, then where do the unjust stand? And the unjust are people that don't pay any heed at all to what Christ, the Word of God, says. That God's Word is God, and God came into this world as a man. And he told us exactly what's going to happen. And it's happening. And it's so close to the end of time. Everything is lined up now the way that the Bible says it would be just before he comes back to earth again. There's a falling away from the Lord. And Satan is set down in the temple of God. Know you not that we are the temple of God? That you're supposed to be the temple of God. And if you're not, then Satan is sitting in you saying that he is God because you're following Satan. You're either following the Lord or Satan. You can't serve two masters. You must serve Christ or mammon, money. That's what all this government is about. It's money, money, money. I don't care how much money this government makes. It's not going to be able to rebuild. God's going to knock this earth off of its axis. But only we who are born again of the Spirit will be saved. I'm Jewish and I'm a teacher. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor. And I pray that God will give you the sense enough to get saved today, or tonight, or this morning, whenever you're hearing this tape. All right, then go ahead.
They have a warped or distorted image of what growing in the Lord is all about. Our goal is not growing only to the fullness of the stature of the Lord. Our goal is the spiritual and emotional growth to the fullness of the stature of the Lord demonstrated by sacrificial service. That is one reason we can never claim to have fully recovered. Jesus set the pace for us with his example and service. His whole purpose in coming was to serve, not to be served. That principle that we seek to give away what we have gained is an essential part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing the message. There's no such thing as a secret disciple or private growth process. Discipleship and growth in the Lord take place within relationships. God's gospel or good news is meant to be shared. As we share the joys and struggles of our own testimonies in spiritual growth, we encourage others to have spiritual growth as well. The message transcends national, racial, and economic barriers, reaching out to all those who are willing to admit their powerlessness, their need for salvation, their need to be forgiven of their sins, their need to be walking in the Spirit. The message of recovery is very worthwhile, and without sharing it, the Lord says, He'll hew us down.
All right, now, we also have a website that you can read all the literature that I've written. And from time to time, I'll be putting new literature on the website, and you can read it that way, and that way it'll save us sending you a stamp letter. I don't know what a postage stamp retail is now. But what's the website? Give it to them over the air here.
AlamoMinistries.com.
AlamoMinistries.com. That's easy. They can read all of our literature if they hone in there, right?
Yes.
All right. All right, now... That was the introduction to Mark, and now we have what?
Mark chapter 1.
Mark chapter 1, let's go.
John the Baptist prepares the way. Verse 1. Here begins the gospel, the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 2. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, God said, quote, "Look, I am sending my messenger before you, and he will prepare your way." Verse 3. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, "Prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming!" Exclamation point. "Make a straight road for him!" Exclamation point. Verse 4. This messenger was John the Baptist. He lived in the wilderness and was preaching that people should be baptized to show that they have turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven.
Not just should be baptized, but must be baptized. Amen?
Amen.
Even Jesus was baptized. He never sinned, but he did that because he was a man and was the example of what we're supposed to do. Then what else?
Verse 5. People from Jerusalem and from all over Judah traveled into the wilderness to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Verse 6. His clothes were woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather girdle and leather belt. His food was locusts and wild honey. Verse 7. He announced, quote, "Someone is coming soon who is far greater than I, so much more greater than I am, that I am not even worthy to be his slave." Verse 8, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," unquote. The baptism of Jesus. Verse 9, "One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River." Verse 10, "And when Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens split open, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on him."
Okay, this is where Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit, and it was mentioned to Mary that she was going to bear a child and she was going to be pregnant even before the time that the Holy Spirit caused Jesus to be conceived in her womb, and it came to pass. And then read that last line again.
"And when Jesus came up out of the water, He saw the heavens split open, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on him.
So we'd have to know that God itself is saved, but the Holy Spirit came down upon him right after his baptism, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was going to send him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he had to have the Holy Spirit in him, to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outward anointing, in order to be in the ministry, because he was a man. He was the Son of Man and also the Son of God. But we also are men, and we that are born again of the Spirit are also sons of God. The Bible says so in several places. And so we do also, if we want to be in the ministry, we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I was saved, and it took me about three years before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. You have to be baptized every day in the Holy Spirit. It's a constant thing. You have to be anointed by the outward Spirit to minister to people during the day, one day at a time. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 11. And a voice came from heaven saying, quote, "You are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you," unquote. The temptation of Jesus, verse 12. Immediately the Holy Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. Verse 13.
See, he was going to be tempted here. The Holy Spirit that descended upon him as a dove started driving him around into the ministry, leading him around to do what he to be tested. And the Lord's going to test you. You're going to go through many tests and temptations. God is not going to tempt you, but he's going to put you in environments that he's going to want to know whether you're going to stick in the ministry, because he doesn't want any people that are light to be in the kingdom of heaven, that lightweight people. You have to be led by the Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit. He wants heavyweights. He wants people that really stick and stay and make it pay. Amen?
Amen.
People that are solid. People that are strict. Not only strict with themselves, because the Lord is a strict, he's a good God, but he's a strict God. He means what he says. Then what else?
Verse 13. He was there for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. The first disciples. Verse 14. Later on, after John was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's gospel, good news. Verse 15, quote, "At last the time has come!" exclamation point, unquote, he announced. "The kingdom of God is at hand!" exclamation point. "Turn from your sins and believe this gospel, the good news!" exclamation point, unquote.
And that's what we're saying to you today. Turn from your sins. Don't turn a deaf ear to the Lord, because you'll regret it later for eternity. Then what?
Verse 16. One day as Jesus was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Verse 17. Jesus called out to them, quote, "Come be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people!" exclamation point, unquote. Verse 18. And they left their nets at once and went with him. Verse 19. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat mending their nets. Verse 20. He called them as well, and immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went with him. Jesus cast out an evil spirit. Verse 21. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum, and every Sabbath day he went into the synagogue and taught the people. Verse 22. They were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law.
See, he had authority, and when he's in us, he wants us to take authority. It's the same Jesus, the same God that's in us, that was in him. And that's what it says. He has authority. He had the authority to lay his life down, and he raised his own life up. And if we have that same spirit in us, then on the last day, he'll raise us up as well. Right, then what?
Verse 23. A man possessed by an evil spirit was in the synagogue. Verse 24. And he began shouting, quote, why are you bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 25, Jesus cut him short, quote, be silent, exclamation point, come out of the man, unquote. Verse 26.
That's authority. He's telling the weak and beggarly spirits, the ones that the
world government is led by, get out of here. Amen?
Amen.
And by God, they left. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's the kind of authority that you must believe that you have. Because if you don't, and you don't believe in the salvation that the Lord saved you with. Now you have God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in you. And God wants you to show that to the world. He wants to show it to the world. So don't hold back when the Lord wants you to do something. As long as it lines up with the Word of God, do it. Okay, then what else?
Verse 26. At that, the evil spirit screamed and threw the man into a convulsion, but then he left him. Verse 27.
The evil spirit screamed. And that's what the evil spirits and these demonic people that are causing so much trouble are doing today. They're screaming, they're ranting, they're raving, they're taking the Bible out of schools, they're aborting children. Satan's gone wild because he knows he's on the rampage because he knows that his time is short and that he's going to be blistering in hell forever and in the lake of fire and all of his angels. That's why they're attacking the true people that are preaching the word of the Lord. But if you're fearful to do so, then you'll be in hell in the lake of fire with them. The Bible says the fearful and unbelieving. If you believe that God has all the power and he's given you the authority, power and dominion over the devil, then you better receive it and believe it and do it. Okay, then what?
Verse 27. Amazement gripped the audience as they began to discuss what had happened. Quote, what sort of new teaching is this, unquote, they asked excitedly. Quote, it has such authority, exclamation point. Even evil spirits obey his orders, exclamation
point. Right, and they obey my orders too, and anyone else that has God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in them. If devils come into this church, they come in saying they're sheep, and I find out that they're wolves, they don't stay here anymore. Okay? It's like that song, Elvis doesn't live here anymore. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Either does, anyone else. Then what else? Satan doesn't live here anymore. Satan has left the building. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
Verse 28. The news of what he had done spread quickly through the entire area of Galilee. Jesus heals many people. Verse 29. After Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they went over to Simon and Andrew's home, and James and John were with them. Verse 30. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. Verse 31. He went to her bedside, and as he took her by the hand and helped her to sit up, the fever suddenly left, and she got up and prepared a meal for them. Verse 32. That evening at sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. Verse 33. And a huge crowd of people from all over Capernaum gathered outside the door to watch. Verse 34. So Jesus healed great numbers of sick people who had many different kinds of diseases, and he ordered many demons to come out of their victims. But because they knew who he was, he refused to allow the demons to speak.
So he even told them to shut their mouth, and they did. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Jesus preaches in Galilee. Verse 35.
We had one of those demonic people come into the church one time, and he tried to rape one of the little girls in the church. And so we spanked him. And then we said, go down and tell the police that we spanked you, okay? And, of course, he didn't. And so we got rid of that devil.
Verse 35. The next morning, Jesus awoke long before daybreak and went out alone into the wilderness to pray. Verse 36. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. Verse 37, they said, quote, everyone is asking for you, unquote. Verse 38, but he replied, quote, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too, because that is why I came.
Now, I'm not saying that I spanked him, but the father of the little girl did. He spanked him. Okay? And I'd do the same thing if somebody tried to rape my little daughter. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And of course these bleeding hearts today would say, oh, you're supposed to forgive them. No, I can't forgive sin. Okay, I can forgive offenses against me, but only God can forgive sin. And the Lord, remember, gives me power and dominion to take power and dominion over the lawless people. And what we do is we have them arrested. Okay, Now, if the law, the police, or the sheriff will not arrest them, well, then we just turn them loose on the street, on you people. Because we don't want them up here. And evidently, you people that don't want to get saved, you have mercy on those kind of people, right? You are the bleeding hearts over devils. But our hearts don't bleed for devils. Our hearts bleed for the Lord and for the people of the Lord. All right? You got your head screwed on the wrong way, folks. Okay, then what?
Verse 39. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and expelling demons from many people. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Verse 40. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. Quote, if you want to, you can make me well again, unquote, he said. Verse 41. Moved with pity, Jesus touched him. Quote, I want to, unquote, he said. Quote, be healed, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 42. Instantly the leprosy disappeared. The man was healed. Verse 43. Then Jesus sent him on his way and told him sternly. Verse 44. Quote, go right over to the priests and tell him to examine you. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing. Unquote. Verse 45. But as the man went on his way, he spread the news, telling everyone what had happened to him. As a result, huge crowds soon surrounded Jesus, that he couldn't enter a town anymore, anywhere, publicly. He had to stay out in the secluded places, and people from everywhere came to him there.
Okay, that was the intro to Mark, and also Mark, first chapter, 45 verses. It was the translation and now some commentary. We're just running short on time, so I don't know if we'll be able to finish it today, but we will tomorrow. Okay, go ahead.
Chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Only belief in a power greater than ourselves can restore anyone to sanity. That's how John the Baptist saw Jesus as one far greater than he was. Jesus demonstrated his great power through the Holy Spirit, his victory over Satan, and his temptations. This should cause everyone to be encouraged as we face whenever temptations come our way. With the Lord's power living in us and with us, we are able to be more than conquerors to anything or anybody who comes our way. Under our own power, we are helpless against the power of Satan. We can tap into God's power by making a conscious decision to control ourselves, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and by entrusting our life to God's care completely. Chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. If Jesus, the Son of God, took time from his busy schedule to pray to his Father, isn't it feasible how much more we need to do the same? By planning the high priority on prayer, Jesus could preserve in him the ministry to keep from burning out. We who are desirous of growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ for ourselves and for others cannot get along without prayer. The busier the days are, the more we need to be aware that we need to meditate on God's Word, get a hold of Him, and pray for His power, His strength, His wisdom.
All right, I see that our time is up on this broadcast, but we'll continue on tomorrow. In the meantime, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.